Hello. Welcome to Throwing Light. My name is Brandi Walker. This is episode 70, Prophets, Mama Bear Energy, and Jay-Z. Okay, I'm staring at a piece of paper where I wrote down all of the core themes, all the ideas that I want to talk about today, because I've been trying to wrap my head around, like, what am I saying? Like, what is my point? I hope, as always, that this episode, that this podcast brings you value and helps you think about, you know, life, your life, how to live a good life, the meaning of life. And your role in it and your purpose and your gifts. And there's a lot going on in the world today. There's a lot going on for all of us personally, right? So like, I feel like we're in this strange time where like nobody's coasting right now. And I'm sure that's not on the whole true. Like some people, you know, some people may still be coasting. Some people may still be asleep. Some people may be completely oblivious to everything that's going on in the world, but most people aren't, right? Like, we're all in our own ways waking up. And the thing is, we fell asleep in different places. So we're waking up in different places, and that's okay. So what my morning looks like, what my waking up looks like is going to be different from yours. You may be way farther ahead on the journey than I am. And it's difficult but fascinating to think about kind of where we all are and how 2020 is waking us all up in different and very similar ways. Before I get into the episode, I want to announce that throughout the month of June, I'm going to be doing a giveaway. So if you go to iTunes specifically, and leave a review, an honest review, I would love it if it's 5 stars, but you know, I want you to be honest of this podcast, Throwing Light. And then take a screenshot of that and email it to me at brandyglows@gmail.com. And then you will be entered into a drawing to win a Shalom session with me, which I've explained in different episodes, but like the quick rundown is Shalom session takes place over 2 Zoom calls. We go deep into your purpose. We talk about what you want to create, what the blocks are that have been keeping you from creating the thing that you're here to do. And then we do a past life meditation where we use your imagination, whether you believe in past lives or not, to get out of that left brain way of thinking. Sorry. So my neighbors are having picnic or something. So we use this past life meditation to get out of the left brain, to get out of the analytical brain, and to let the right brain, let the creative brain just kind of have free reign and help you use symbolism, honestly, oftentimes to help you figure out why you're having these blocks and what you can do to heal them. And then, so that's the first session. And the second session, we come back about a week later, and you've had some homework to do with all of that. And then we talk about like, okay, so now what's the next step? Like, how do you put this into action? So if you leave a review, then be entered to win a Shalom session. You'll also be entered to win a card reading. I'll do an oracle or tarot card reading for you, and send you it by email. And then I think I might throw in some other things. So I'm not sure yet. Some maybe some coffee. We could all use some coffee right now. We just woke up. And or tea. yeah. So leave a review, take a picture of it, screenshot it, and then email it to me. If you don't have iTunes, you can leave a review on another site. I'll enter you in that way. So I really feel passionate about the work that I'm doing with this podcast. And it's just been really difficult for me to be completely transparent to grow it. And I feel like I've grown in other areas, social media and stuff, but like my podcast is still really small and I believe in this content and I want it to reach more people. So that's why I'm doing this. Also, I want to give you good things and I want to spread this podcast far and wide. Also, last week I shared a meditation for dirty hands on the podcast. And if you listened, I would love to hear if you did the meditation, I'd love to hear how it went for you and how it resonated, how it hit. My hope is to start sharing an episode a week and a meditation a week. And I have a meditation that I want to share later this week, assuming that I can get this episode out in a timely manner. That is what we're doing. I told you in the meditation that I talk about what my thought process was for that meditation. I talked a little bit about it if you read the show notes, but basically I put the laundry, like I put dirty clothes in the laundry a couple of weeks ago, and I had walked upstairs to wash my hands and my son was in the bathroom. So I was just kind of standing in the hall, staring at my dirty hands. And of course, like you can't see the dirt. It's just, they're just my hands, but I just had a sense of like, I don't want to touch anything. Well, I just changed the laundry. And I just started thinking of this idea of this meditation for dirty hands. And this was before George Floyd's death. It was just purely like, it was like, oh, there's some stuff here, like symbolism, like with coronavirus and our fear of being dirty. And there's like power here, like there's something here. And then shortly after that, all of the stuff went down. With the death of George Floyd. And I found myself thinking like, oh, this is actually like, it's all connected, right? Because we all have dirty hands. And also there's something to be said about getting your hands dirty and doing the work that you need to do, you know, to heal, to fix the brokenness and getting our hands in the dirt is in part how we do it. So I just created the meditation out of those ideas. But I think that you really could take it anywhere you wanted to. Like it's just an idea. And I don't know that the meditation is the end all be all, a resolution of what that idea wanted to be in the world. I think you could take it and make it your own. And I know that it's been working on me as I've been, like every time I look at my hands, and I've been thinking about the power of our hands and the magic in our hands and how we can use our hands to heal and to do magic, like really to do like I think we have so much more power than we realize. I've said this like a million times, but I think our hands are a big part of that. So that's what that was. And I hope that it blessed you if you did it. And, yeah, I'd love to hear how it went for you. Okay, so what did I call this episode? Profits, Mama Bear Energy, and Jay-Z. So the profits part, the P-R-O-P-H-E-T-S. In the last days, there's a line in the Bible, in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. I have heard from other spiritually inclined influencers, whatever you want to call them, the idea that when coronavirus first broke, an influencer I listened to said, who channels from the Akashic Records, said that the sense she was getting, or what she felt her guides were telling her, was that this is the first of like many viruses, and it's going to happen over the next 2 years. And I really resisted that idea. Like, I really didn't like it when she first said it. And then all of the stuff that's gone down in the last 2 weeks, like all I could think about last week was like, it feels like the beginning of quarantine all over again. Like it feels like we're blindsided and information is changing so fast, and institutions that we thought were like the bedrock of like our life, for better or for worse, couldn't be changed, are like tumbling, crumbling down. And she said that one of her followers suggested that this was the second virus. And I've been thinking about that. And then another influencer who I follow, and I say the word influencer, I don't really love that word, but you know, I could say spiritual leader, you could call it whatever you want. This is just the word I'm using right now. But this second influencer, this other person, said that this is the first of, or this is like more is coming. Like we're in a time, and I think a lot of astrologers, a lot of people whose work is about prophesizing and predicting what's coming, psychics and whatnot, had a sense that 2020 was going to be a difficult year. Astrologically, I think that, you know, I think I've said this before, it was in the stars, so to speak. I don't think we had a full picture of what that meant, but I don't think you can have a full picture of what that meant. We still don't, you know, we have a sense though. I think there is a growing collective sense that more shit is going to go down, right? Like this is the beginning of some radical change that's happening in our world. And whether you believe that there are benevolent or malevolent, I don't know, is that the word? Good or bad forces behind the scenes, like pulling the strings, or, you know, whatever it is you believe, like some shit is going down and we can use it to heal ourselves and ultimately heal the world. You know, when I first started this podcast, the first episode was called Poets, Prostitutes, and Preachers. And I talked in that episode how, you know, I've kind of always have felt like a prophet, but I felt like I couldn't call myself that because you can't like call yourself a prophet. I think that, you know, the prophet archetype, the person who looks beyond what's like zooms out at the bigger picture to try to figure out what it all means, that is a role that some of us are called to play. And whether or not we're comfortable calling ourselves that, and whether or not it's even helpful to call ourselves that, we need those people. We need that archetype. We need people who are going to look at the details, who are going to zoom in. I'm thinking about the virus and I'm thinking about the proteins on the virus. Like we need people who are going to look at those things, and we need people who are going to zoom the fuck out and look at, you know, the patterns. And I think that that's what prophets do. They look at the patterns and they discern what has happened and what that could mean. And all of it, a lot of it, is based on choice. Like we choose, maybe, yeah, I don't know if all of it, but in a lot of ways, you know, we choose the reality that we're living in. And for on a micro level and on a macro level, and the choosing of that, especially when we've gone down a path where we haven't been awake or done the things that we know we needed to do for so long at collective or personally, change doesn't come easy. It hurts. It hurts us, and it hurts like the people in our sphere. And again, I'm speaking like micro and macro at the same time, but it's still necessary. And that pain doesn't mean, and I said this, if you burn your hand, the pain is an indication that you did something, like that you're bad, or like you shouldn't cut your hand off. I don't remember how exactly I said it, but like the pain is like a helpful thing. It tells you like, get your hand off the flame. Because you have to, now it has to heal. There's a lot of ways that this could play out. There's infinite possibilities, there's infinite realities. We as individuals and as a collective have the responsibility and opportunity to choose wisely and to choose where we want to go. And this is where our desire is super important. It's hard to admit that you're wrong, right? I want to talk a little bit about how I've been thinking about my own story and how I feel like that story has helped me come to terms with kind of where we're at now. So, broad strokes, I was asleep for most of my childhood. I was taught that I was special, and I was taught a whole bunch of like shame and guilt and get over it, negative tapes that weren't helpful. I made some choices that hurt myself and my family for a couple of years, like for about 5 years. I made really, really poor choices. And I was in situations where I was letting other people hurt me. When I came out of that, for about 10 years after that, and this is like what you can't see right after, so I can only say this now that I'm like 15 to 20 years out of it. About 10 years after that, I was just stuck in shame and guilt. And I was essentially flogging myself with negative self-talk. I really questioned my worth. And at my core, I was terrified that, you know, I was a horrible person. And I've talked about this before, but I began to heal that when I began to do this spiritual work and change my thoughts and change my thinking. And I did that through therapy, also through meditation and prayer. And I'm not there. I'm not 100% there. I mean, like, you know, we're on a journey, right? So like the stuff came up this morning that I was like, fuck, like I'm still in it. It's all a process, but I'm more aware of it now. And so what would happen during those 10 years is when I would do something that was bad, quote unquote bad, I would either deny it or hate myself for it. Because I couldn't own it, because owning it meant that I would have to own the truth that I was a horrible person. So I thought I was a horrible person, but I didn't want to actually think that I was a horrible person. So if I perpetuated that truth and made a mistake and felt like I had proved that I was a horrible person, then I couldn't admit it, because that would be like the worst thing ever. Because then I would be a horrible person, and then what do I do? Just die. Like there's nothing, nowhere to go from there. And that was the cycle that I was in for a long time, and I didn't know it. And I was a passionate, like progressive Christian at that point. Like I was like living my fullest life, right? But also there were these tapes, these things going through my head where it was just like, fuck, like, so healing that meant being able to admit that I had made a mistake and said something that I shouldn't have said or did something that I shouldn't have done without taking the leap to I'm a horrible person. That's huge healing work, and it's still going on. I said something to Jermaine this morning. I didn't even realize that it was bad. And I said it to him, and then he was pissed. And I was like, fuck you being pissed. Like, I stand by it. And then I was like, I wrote something in a text to him, because I was trying to explain like what I was saying. And he basically was like, don't throw that bullshit on me. And said the thing that I had said. And I looked at the text and it was exactly the same thing, but I didn't know that I had said it the first time. Like I was shaming him, but I couldn't see it. And so we have in our relationship worked really hard, especially over the past year or two, to get out of the paradigm of focusing on who's right and wrong. You know, because we're all right and wrong at different times. And it's not about that. It's not about being good. it was hard. Like, I was in it and I was listening to it. I was listening to him say that. And I was like, fuck, like, I got to admit that, like, I was shaming him and I didn't mean to, but I still was. And so, like, I admitted it. And then I shared, like, how I was feeling. And he shared how he was feeling. And that was it. And I let it go and it dissipated. I couldn't have done that 5 years ago. I would have had to double down and manipulate the situation so that he apologized in order so I could feel okay about myself, about how I felt. And this is just an example. And it's interesting because I had asked him to listen to this audio from Amanda Flaker yesterday. She was talking to empaths and she was talking about what she calls the empath narcissist paradigm. So her theory is that at the helm of every powerful corporation or country or whatever, there's a narcissist, but there's also an empath or more than one empath enabling that person. Narcissists don't want to feel what they've done. And empaths and narcissists are, I think, in large part made the same way. And in some ways, she's talking about empaths and narcissists as an archetype. The narcissist is also a disorder in the DSM-5, right? But most therapists will tell you, it's very rare to treat a narcissist or to diagnose a narcissist because they don't come in for therapy because they don't think anything's wrong with them. The only time they would come in for therapy is if it was mandated. So the way she's speaking about it is narcissists don't feel. They cut off their heart. They harden their heart, right? So that they don't have to feel what they have done, what they're doing, or what other people are doing, right? So empaths, what we do is take on all of the feelings as our own. So narcissists can do the work they do if they can find empaths to basically feel for them. She goes really deep into the spiritual implications of that. But we were listening to that and he was he was asking what she meant and then kind of said in a way that's our paradigm. And I don't consider myself a narcissist, but Jermaine is all empath. Jermaine's my husband, by the way, if you're new to this podcast. And I almost titled this podcast Narcissistic Tendencies because I think as a younger person, you know, I was very unhealed and it was everybody else's fault. It was not my fault. So as an empath, he was saying, I realized the reason an empath would enable a narcissist is to keep the peace. All of this to say, we all, I think, have narcissistic tendencies. We all have empathic tendencies. We all can feel other people's feelings. We all can enable other people who don't have other people's best interest at heart. And we all can play that role ourselves, right? I think the path to healing is to take ownership of all of it. Amanda Flaker was saying empaths need to reflect back to narcissists what they're feeling. Don't feel it. Don't take it on. That's not your responsibility. Make them feel it. don't apologize for anything, right? And I think on the flip side, the narcissist part of us, we have to own what we've done. And I mean, empaths have to own what they've done too, because people make choices for self-preservation. So I hope this is making sense, but the whole thing is we have to take ownership. And this is how we create, this is how we change the reality that we don't want to be in. This is how we create a new world, is we take ownership of what we've created, i.e. everything. And we forgive ourselves for everything. My friend, Rebecca, who I had on the podcast earlier, was telling me about Carolyn Elliott, who just wrote a book about existential kink. And she was saying that this is how she describes, when we talk about manifesting, when we talk about we create our realities, it can feel victim blaming. Carolyn Elliott, she was saying, she calls it existential kink. So, yes, I've created this reality that I don't like, but some part of me does like it. because I'm so like what she would like kinky, quote unquote. And if I can own that, then that's kind of the path to like healing it. It's owning our shadow, owning all of us, our whole selves. And I hope I'm speaking about this. I mean, like, I know I'm touching on a lot of all over the place topics. And let me say, especially white people, owning our responsibility in this without flogging ourselves. That's how we begin to heal it. And listening. So, okay, mama bear energy. So I'm skipping profits for a second. P-R-O-F-I-T-S. But the mama bear energy. So George Floyd, I think every mother in the nation has been thinking about this, but he, and I'm going to cry. He called for mama. And I read there was like a protester who was saying like all of the mamas, you know, in the world were summoned. The gift of the mom is to allow without conditions and without judgment. So we allow and we listen and we open up our arms as wide as they go and we just let it all in and we let it be all of it. Like, let it be the fucking mess that it is. And you don't mess with mama bear, right? If her cubs are in danger, she will cut a bitch. you don't fuck with her. And so I think that's the energy that's coming out right now. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, I've talked on this podcast about not going to war. And I've been thinking about what that means in this. I still think humans are good. And I still think we don't ever have to go to war. But protesting is not going to war. Peaceful protesting is not going to war. Creative art to share the pain, to help people witness and experience what people of color and black men have been through. That's not war. That's like a level up. That's like integration. If you think about like the world we want to create, if we create utopia, if we create heaven on earth, shalom, the warrior archetype will still exist. It will be leveled up and will be transformed and transmuted into something that maybe we can't even see right now. Maybe we can see it. Maybe people are showing it. But that's kind of like that a mama bear energy of like, we just allow it all and don't fuck with my kid. And I will say, I have taught on this idea of the third way. And Walter Wink wrote a book on the third way, Jesus and Nonviolence. And in it, he says, like, sometimes violence is necessary and important. If nothing else is working, like just standing there being passive or like allowing someone else to be harmed, that's not okay. Like, we can't do that. Violence is better than that. Amanda Flaker made the comment, she still believes people aren't bad and we have to like delete that program that people are bad. In my gut, like, I feel how true that is because I lived for 10 years like feeling that I was a horrible person. And she made the comment that the reason people do what they do is because of unhealed trauma. And I can attest to that also because I lived it. There's a sense of generational trauma. Even if you haven't experienced it, like, it's in your DNA. And we've all experienced, like, if you look back on slavery, like Viking, like what we've done to each other for generations and generations, whether you have been the victim or the perpetrator or both. And I would say that probably all of us have been both at one time or another. And I think that I've been thinking about that, you know, so I've talked on here about past lives. I have had past lives. I had a past life where I was a slave trader on a ship. And I had a past life, completely different scenario, where I was an older black woman who was taking care of children whose parents had been murdered. So that's just my subconscious, right? But I know in my own life, I have been the victim and I've been the perpetrator. I think that we all incarnated in this lifetime as who we are for a reason. And that's why I say that, like, you have a job to do and no one else can do it. And if you don't do it, it won't get done. And maybe that's okay. Like, maybe it will get done eventually. Maybe, hopefully, I think that we'll figure it out. I think we have an opportunity. Rebecca wrote an email that was really good. I highly recommend getting on her email list called this a healing crisis. And she had a lot of really wise things to say about kind of where we're at now. But I feel like it's an opportunity. Someone on Instagram called it the Great Repair. And Amanda Flaker has talked about the win-win-win. When we make a decision, making sure to include ourselves, others, and the planet or the universe. Depending on our personality, we're all inclined to forget one or two of those, right? So, like, I don't generally forget about myself. And I've talked about how my selfishness is a gift. At my best, I don't forget about others. But I do sometimes. And so that's what I have to take into consideration. I can also get to a place where I do forget about myself. Empaths traditionally forget about themselves. Like, they ignore themselves and sacrifice for the planet or for other people. But it's not a win-win-win if we forget about any of it. It's not a win-win-win if we sacrifice either our heart, our mind, or our body. All of it matters. The path to healing, I think, can be summed up as paying attention to what comes up, feeling the feelings that come up. Allow yourself to feel it. Science has proven a feeling only lasts like 2 minutes if you allow it. So we feel it. And then if we feel it, and it might feel overwhelming, but we're strong enough to handle it. And once it'll peak, it'll crescendo, and then we'll have it'll dissipate. We have to feel it first, though. And then we take responsibility for any of our part of it. And Gary Vee talks about the gift of ownership and owning all of it, and all of it's his fault. Like, he takes all of it. So there's something to be said about not blaming anybody else. And I think that, especially for me as a white person, that feels helpful, because I can get into a space where I'm critiquing how people are showing up on either side. And that's just not, like, that's not my job. That's not helpful. That's not gonna do any of the work that I need to do. I think there's this piece of, you don't have to convince anybody. I think I've talked about this before. By the way, if you hear fireworks, our neighborhood, like, this time of year, like, obsessed with fireworks. You don't have to convince anybody. Like, you can have your truth and you can know that you're doing the work that you need to be doing and taking responsibility that you need to take, and people aren't going to get it. There's a big movement for white people to talk to other white people. And I don't think that's wrong. But I also think that I'm not going to heal anybody. I'm not going to save anybody. I'm not going to convince anybody. I can do my own work and I can show up doing that work. And if people want to pay attention and use it as a catalyst to change their own heart and life, then that is good. And if they don't, there's nothing else I can do. Jay-Z has a song called No Church in the Wild. And Carolyn Elliott, forgive me if I'm saying her name wrong, she wrote this incredible thing, this incredible write-up about the song and about its relevance in our world today. And I'll link that post in the show notes. But it's really, really good. I think a lot of it I talked about here in other ways. It boils down to doing our work, feeling our feelings, and doing our work. And not everybody's going to wake up. Some people are going to wake up, realize that the day sucks, and go back to sleep. And that's our choice. They're creating their reality. It's not going to be a pleasant reality, probably, but it's their choice. I really hope this made sense. It was all over the place on my piece of paper. And it feels like it's all over the place. But I think some really good nuggets may have happened in here. So I love you. Please don't forget about the giveaway. And yeah, I think you're amazing. Namaste.